Good afternoon, everyone. The Labor, Industry, Veterans, and Military Affairs, Finance, and Policy Committee will come to order. I would like to announce that this meeting will take place in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This meeting may be viewed on the House Public Information TV, which is available on the House website. As will be the custom with this committee, we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. So please rise and say the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag. The United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Ms. Doyle, will you please take the roll?
Yep. Chair Eklund.
Present.
Vice Chair Zhang.
Present.
Representative Detmer.
I know.
Representative McDonald.
Here.
Representative Berg.
Present.
Representative Bliss.
Present.
Representative Edelson.
Present.
Representative Frederick.
Present.
Representative Greenman.
Present.
Representative Nelson.
Present.
Representative Poston.
Present.
Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh present.
Representative Sundin.
Present.
Yep, and we have everyone here.
Thank you, Ms. Doyle. A quorum is present. I would like to remind everybody I've been through this with both DFL members and the Republican leads that we need to run this committee through the chair. So please raise your hand, use the hand raise function if you need to. I think this is more imperative now that we're meeting on via Zoom to make sure this works properly. If for some reason that I don't notice your hand raised, or Ms. Doyle or Mr. Reese do not notice your hand raised, please send them an email with your house email account to Grace Doyle or Travis Reese, so that we can make sure that if you have questions or comments that we can get them on the record. During today's meeting, we'll use our time to introduce the members and the staff of the committee. Please feel free to tell the committee who you are, where you're from, and anything you'd like to share about why you are serving on this committee. I will go first, and then I will call on each member so they can introduce themselves. As most of you know, I'm Rob Eklund. Last year, I chaired the Veterans Finance and Policy Committee. This year, it's my honor to have a combination committee of industry, labor, veterans and military affairs, finance and policy. I'm from International Falls. I represent District 3A, and you're going to hear my corny joke, but if you imagine northeastern Minnesota, I like to tell people without my district, Minnesota wouldn't have a point. My passions have been veterans affairs and labor affairs. I'm a retired member and past president of USW Local 159, and I'm also a Marine Corps veteran. So I think I'm uniquely situated to chair this committee, and I'm looking forward to working with all of you as we go forward. Next up is Representative Tu Zhang, the vice chair.
Thank you, Chair Eklund. My name is Representative Tu Zhang. I represent House District 53A, which is the eastern metro suburbs of Maplewood, Woodbury, Oakdale, and Landfall. Lots of labor union members in my district, lots of pipe fitters, and heavy machinists living in my district, and I'm very, very proud to represent them and very proud to be part of this committee. And I look forward to working with you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Zhang. The next up would be Representative Bob Detmer, one of the Republican co-leads.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome everybody to this best committee you can serve on in the legislature. I've chaired this committee before when it was just the Veterans Military Affairs Committee. I've also served on the Labor Committee last session, and educator for 34 years at Forest Lake High School. I had wrestling coach, also soccer and track. 25 years in the United States Army Reserve, served during Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom. And so I have a passion for veterans' issues. I think we, over the years that I've served, we've been able to work across the aisle on a lot of good veterans' issues and get some good pieces of legislation to the governor's desk to be signed into law. And I appreciate working with Chair Eklund. And I think we have a lot of good work ahead of us in this committee, not only just for veterans, but also for labor. And my wife and I also have twin sons that are West Point graduates. They're lieutenant colonels now, 20 years in. One is in Turkey right now. This is fifth deployment. And his twin brother's down in Texas as a battalion commander. And our daughter is a 911 dispatcher for the sheriff of Washington County. So it's great to be part of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. Next up would be the other Republican co-lead, Representative Joe McDonald.
Hello, fellow committee members, Mr. Chair, and the ever-capable and very important staff members who really keep this committee ticking. I hail from Delano, Minnesota. I'm actually in my photo studio right now, Zooming, and that's where I'll be here for the meeting. And I've been, this is my sixth term. My wife and I have three boys, so sometimes they call me Fred McMurray. For you younger generation, you may not know who that is. Anyway, we run a photo studio, photography studio, for the last 33 years. And I'm very in tune with the community in town here in Wright County. I represent Wright County, or the Wright County, as some people say. My father was in the Air Force, and we grew up a family of seven children. And very proud of our country and our military service men and women, especially the Air Force. So go Air Force. As far as the committee, I've been on many committees throughout the last 10 years. And I just wanted to finally be on the Veterans Committee. My father was on the Veterans Committee when he served from 1977 to 1990. And I always wanted to be on this committee. And I finally have an opportunity to serve in that capacity. Labor and industry is very important, and I just wanted something different. I've been on health and human sacrifices, the committees, HHS, and taxes, and property taxes, and higher ed, and legacy, and it was just time for something different, something new, and these two committees are very important, and as Bob Detmer said, they're the two best committees and issues that could present the state, and I look forward to serving in that capacity. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. Next up is Representative Kayla Berg.
Thank you, Chair Eklund. My name is Kayla Berg. I represent 56B, which is Burnsville and a little slice of Lakeville. And 17 years ago, I became a flight attendant and joined my union, and that ignited a spark, which became a fire in my belly for the issues that face working families. I ran on being passionate about a Minnesota that works for working families, and that's sort of the lens through which I do my work. And not only am I an advocate for good union jobs with family-sustaining wages, but I believe that working families also care about issues like healthcare for all and fully funded public schools. I've known Chair Eklund for a number of years, and I'm just really excited to be able to be on this committee and to see what we can do to lift up working families in Minnesota. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Berg, and welcome. Representative Matt Bliss.
Hi, I represent the Bemidji-Walker area. I served as my second term, non-consecutive, and I was the vice chair under Rep. Detmer when we had just the Veterans Affairs Committee. My family is a family of veterans. Seven of my uncles served in World War I, all from the same family. Big commitment. We lost one of them in France. My dad was in the Pacific Theater in World War II in the Navy. I have three brothers. One is a Vietnam veteran from served in the Navy. Another one of my brothers was a Navy nuke specialist. And another brother was in the Army Reserves for 16 years. I myself served in the Navy, studied electronics and communications. Veterans affairs are very, very important to me. probably my biggest passion down here. Looking forward to serve on this committee. I have not served on a labor committee before, and I'm looking forward to learning.
Thank you, Representative Bliss. Next up is Representative Heather Edelson.
Hi, everyone. Heather Edelson. I represent Edina. Really excited to be on this committee and learn. I mean, I think about the military is really important to me. All of my family members have served except for me, which is like this new generation of, I think, what happens. But I do, as a therapist, one of the things I notice is mental health with our veterans when I was practicing was a real concern for me. And so really just interested to learn more about what kind of comes to this committee and happy to support. And thanks.
Thank you, Representative Edelson. Next up is Representative Luke Frederick.
Hi, everybody. I'm Luke Frederick from 19B, which represents Mankato, Eagle Lake, and all community skyline. And what drew me to the committee was the labor side. I've been a union member for 15 years. The whole reason I even got involved in politics was I had coworkers that were getting so brutally assaulted on the job that I had to reach out. I had to do something. And so I started coming up to the Capitol and lobbying for safer working conditions and safe staffing. And so that's the big push of why I'm here, is to make sure that other people have those same opportunities to be able to fight for that safety in the workplace. And I also look forward to working with everyone here and supporting the Minnesota veterans of Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative Frederick, and welcome. Next up would be Representative Emma Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Emma Greenman, and I am in my first term, just recently elected from House District 63B, which is South Minneapolis and Eastern Richfield. And I'm really grateful to be here on both sides of this, on both the labor and the veterans. My background is an organizer and a voting rights lawyer. I've worked with organized labor, with worker organizations to expand the power of workers in our economy and in our democracy. And I'm excited to dig in with all of you about how we can do that. And I also, my district includes both the VA and Fort Snelling. And so veterans issues are really important to the whole state, but also to many of my constituents. I'm just so grateful to be here and to get to work.
Thank you, Representative Greenman, and welcome. Representative Michael Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Michael Nelson. I represent the southern half of Brooklyn Park, House District 40A. Longtime union member, 40 plus years. Longtime active in my union, held many positions, and including financial secretary of my local, which is business manager. I was also a business agent for the Carpenters Union. Before I retired, I am now retired. Labor issues are near and dear to my heart, as well as apprenticeships. We, you know, there's a lot of people that don't want to go to school, don't want to sit in a classroom, but they can get good paying jobs by going through trade union apprenticeship and other apprenticeship programs, and they can get a good education, learn a profession, learn a trade, and make good money. And they can, when they get done with their apprenticeship, they don't have $100,000 in student loan debt. So it's a good way for people who know they don't want to go to school, know they don't want to do sit in an office, like to work with their hands and earn a good living. I also have veterans in my family. My brother is a retired Army, was in the old guard, my one oldest son was a Navy nuke also, and is a veteran of that. So veteran issues are important also.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Representative John Poston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm Representative John Poston. I represent District 9A, which is Cass, Todd, and Wadena County in North Central Minnesota. I'm going into my third term. I have served on this committee in my first term, and I'm really, really glad to be back. I'm not a veteran, but I come from a military family. My father was a United States Marine, and both of my grandfathers were in the Army. So I'm really excited to be back here and looking forward to this committee. And like Bob said, this is the best committee to be on, and I think the reason that it is because we all love and care about our veterans. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Poston. Next up, Representative Donald Raleigh.
Hi, my name is Donald Raleigh, 38A, representing Washington County and Anoka County. That's the cities of Lexington, Circle Pines, Centerville, Blaine, Lytle Lakes, and Hugo. I'm a veteran of the United States Army, where I served honorably in the United States Army Old Guard. How about that? I was with Charlie Guard and Honor Guard Company. And then after that, for the last 18 years, I've been a business owner and a job creator.
Thank you, Representative Raleigh, and welcome. Next up, Representative Mike Sundin.
You're muted.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Chair Eklund. And I'd like to remind the committee that this committee couldn't be in better hands with a chairman such as Rob Eklund. He's served in many capacities the labor issues, the labor effort from International Falls right down through into Rochester. I've worked with him from time to time, and his service as a United States Marine is going to be beneficial for this committee as well. I've got 43 years in labor union. I've been active in several capacities as an organizer and officer in my local. And the veterans component of this committee is a particular interest to me because my oldest son has got a 23-year career so far in the Air Force, and really like to keep on top of the issues that affect the people that serve us. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sundin, and that's all our committee members. I would like the committee to make note that you are all welcome to this committee. I'm happy that you're on it. The reason I welcome some of the members is because they're freshman first-termers. And I'd like to make note that out of our 13 members, we have four first-termers. And so those of us that are veterans or at least somewhat veterans of this operation, please make them welcome, because we do better working as a team than having people wondering around what's going on. And Representative Poston, your father is a Marine, not was a Marine. That's one thing about us Marines, you're always a Marine. So I just wanted to make note of that as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, next we'll have the staff introduce themselves. First up would be our committee administrator, Travis Reese.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Travis Reese. I am the committee administrator for this committee. I also am the committee administrator for the Workforce and Business Development Committee, trying to get the name right. Previous iterations of the job committee. Last session I served as the jobs committee administrator, the labor committee administrator, and I also spent some time with commerce. Happy to be here, very excited to be here. I started with the House back in 2008, have served in many different roles as a staff person with the House of Representatives. So being part of this committee, I'm just excited to be here. I never served in a union myself, or the military for that matter, but my father was 20 years veteran in the Minnesota National Guard. And so these issues are very important to me. And I was able to benefit by getting some assistance going to school in Minnesota because of his status as a veteran as well. So all of those things are very near and dear to me. So I really appreciate the work that all of you who are veterans have done, and all of those in Minnesota. So I really looking forward to it. I really want to work hard with all of you to make sure this committee runs smoothly. I want it to be open and clear. I want you to be able to ask me any question you need. I want to get you the information you need to get bills in front of the committee, anything we need to do. Please reach out to me, and I will be happy to work with you.
Thank you, Travis. Next up would be Committee Legislative Assistant Grace Doyle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Grace Doyle. I'm the committee legislative assistant. I was the legislative assistant for the Veterans Committee last session. Very much looking forward to continuing to work with Chair Eklund. and the committee. I also come from a labor family with many who have served too. So happy to be here.
Thank you, Ms. Doyle. Next up is House Research, Marta James.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Marta James, and I'm from Nonpartisan House Research. So I cover labor and employment issues for House Research, and I also work as the House Employment Law Council. This is my second year at the House and my second time staffing the Labor Committee. Last year, I also staffed what was called the Jobs Committee, and I may still have some issues on the Workforce Development Committee as well, but primarily we'll be staffing this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. James. Next up is House Research, Jeff Diebel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So this is Jeff Diebel from House Research. I staff the Veterans and Military Affairs component of this committee. I also, background is I proudly serve in the U.S. Army Reserve. Many of you have fondly taken an interest in my career, and I was recently promoted to Lieutenant Colonel in the JAG Corps, so I've got over 16 years of experience in the military to inform my work here. In addition to my work on this committee, and probably the lion's share of my work at House Research is in public safety, so I'll likely cross paths with you if you have an interest in firearms and other public safety related matters.
Thank you, Mr. Diebel, and thank you for your ongoing service. Next up, Helen Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Helen Roberts from the Nonpartisan House Fiscal Analysis Department. I have been with the House since the 1997 session, so last century, and I have covered veterans and military affairs for almost all of that time, but I'm brand new to the labor area, so it may take me a little time to get up to speed.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Next up is DFL Research, Dave Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is David Sullivan, but Mr. Kennedy and most folks here know me as Sully. I've been with the House since 2007. This is my 15th legislative session, and nearly all that time I've worked on labor issues, but I haven't worked on veterans and military issues at all, so I'm looking forward to learning about that.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. And if I slip and call you Sully, I try to be more formal, but it's good. Old habits are hard to break. So next up, Republican Research, John Holtquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John Holtquist. I have been with the House of Representatives as a staffer since 2011, and starting my fifth year providing House Republican staff research work to the veterans issue area. Prior to coming to the House in 2011, I worked in the governor's office for 20 years, so 30 years with the state. And my military connection is my dad was in the Navy during World War II, and my labor connection is that my dad, following his career in the Navy, was on the Minneapolis Fire Department for 27 years.
Thank you, Mr. Holtquist. Next up is Republican Research, Harry Kennedy.
Hey, thank you very much, Harry Kennedy. Looking forward to working with all of you, Sully and Travis, I've worked with before, and some of the members on the committee. I also serve as a researcher for the Ways and Means Committee and the Behavioral Health Division. But really excited. My father, who recently passed away, was a sergeant in the United States Army in the Korean War. And just really proud to be on the committee and look forward to working with you all.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy, and I'm sorry for your family's loss. Members, you'll get to know your partisan research folks, but I really, because they'll provide you good service and good advice, I really need stress that you need to reach out to the nonpartisan folks, because they can be very helpful in your work on some of the bills that will come before this committee. So thank you, everybody, for these introductions. No further introductions. We'll move on to the presentation from our nonpartisan staff, and we'll start out with Marta James to present the labor portion. Ms. James.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, I'm Marta, and I cover labor and employment issues. So I thought it would be helpful to start out with a little bit of background on House Research. So again, House Research is a nonpartisan office. And what we do for this committee is that we can do bill drafts. So for me, that will be the labor issues that I'll go over in a minute. We also do bill summaries. And so each week in your inbox, there will be bill summaries that accompany the bills that are being heard. And so those provide a good overview of the bills, sometimes some helpful context or information about funding or appropriations or things like that. I also can draft any amendments on labor issues for the committee or the floor. And then I'm always available to answer any questions for committee or any of the labor issues that may come up, either through bills or, again, with your roles as representatives with the House. So that being said, I prepared an overview that was sent out by Mr. Reese of some of the areas that were traditionally heard by labor, the labor committee. I believe that this isn't completely finalized yet and it was ultimately up to the chairs and House leadership, but prepared an overview of some of the areas that could come up in this committee. Again, new this year is that this is a labor policy and finance committee. But generally speaking, this committee can hear issues that relate to the Department of Labor and Industry that fall under the Department of Labor and Industry's authority and purview. So sometimes you may hear the Department of Labor and Industry referred to as DOLI or D-O-L-I. So that is what everyone is referring to with DOLI. So I won't go over every single thing on this list, but wanted to point out a few. So one of the big areas this committee can cover is the workers' compensation insurance. And so that is the insurance that potentially provides benefits for workers that are injured as a result of their employment activities. And then there's also provisions related to the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals, the system and administration. And any legislative recommendations that may come up from the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council. Like I mentioned, this committee covers areas under DOLI's purview or Department of Labor Industry's purview, and then issues related to labor and employment. So that includes things like wages, hours, working conditions. It also includes some of the chapters from the wage theft legislation that was passed a couple years ago and prevailing wages. This committee may hear issues related to labor relations and public employment labor relations. Sometimes those public employment labor relations are also heard by what was the Government Operations Committee. And so I understand that may be still being discussed. But things like collective bargaining agreements would certainly come under this committee's purview. Anything related to the employment relationship, Chapter 181 is a very broad chapter, covers a lot of issues. Again, things like payment of wages, whistleblower protections for employees, workplace drug and alcohol testing, and again, some of those wage theft provisions. There's also a few other miscellaneous provisions that come up, things like the construction codes and licensing and combative sports, and also apprenticeship training. Those areas are actually covered by one of my colleagues named Anna Shaleen, and I'm happy to connect with you, if any of those issues come up. The other two are child labor, any restrictions on child labor or changes to child labor, and then anything related to the occupational safety and health. So there's federal OSHA, and then there's a state equivalent called MnOSHA. And that is also another area that might come up in this committee. So again, that's just a very quick, short and sweet overview of some of the areas that have been considered in the past. And I'm happy to answer any specific questions that anyone may have about these statutes or bill drafts as those things come up.
Does anybody on the committee have any questions for Ms. James or she's areas she covers? I'm not seeing anything. Ms. Doyle, if you see anybody, let me know. Ms. James, if you could hang on in case anybody has questions, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for the overview. Next up would be Mr. Diebel on present on Veterans and Military Affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, this is Jeff Diebel, nonpartisan research. Marta and I are colleagues and are typically moved from the sixth floor to the first floor if that ever becomes relevant for us meeting in person. But my job is to help members on both sides of the aisle with any issue that relates to veterans and military affairs. I would say 75% of the projects I receive in this area require me to collaborate with my colleagues, including Marta. She, because many of the issues relating to veterans and those who serve in the Guard have to do with labor issues or employment issues and employment rights upon return from deployment, as well as other jurisdictions with in the legislative structures such as human services, regarding healthcare. Taxes is a big issue with veterans. It's very common to see several bills introduced each year trying to provide tax breaks to those who have served the country. Likewise, the veterans and military affairs issues are commonly commingled with education issues as soldiers and service members and veterans seek to use their education benefits or trying to provide training to those who have served to allow them to transition from the military into the civilian working sector. I don't have anything written down, but I think it's because I think it's self-explanatory. If you have a veterans or military affairs issue, it's you'll know it when you see it. It's not as complicated as MARTA's subject area where people are moving from committee to committee. So I encourage you to reach out to me to, if I don't know the answer, I have very smart colleagues who will help me find the answer, and I will pursue it until we get it right. So feel free to send me an email on any issues related to veterans, whether it's constituent services or bill introductions or understanding any of the current statutory provisions in place. But I look forward to helping each of you.
Thank you, Mr. Diebel. Any questions for Mr. Diebel before we move on? I'm not seeing any, so I will move to Ms. Roberts, and I asked Ms. Roberts on the fiscal part of it to be a little bit detailed because I know my first year when I'd see the first spreadsheets, it was overwhelming. So I figured if we see them right off the bat, that people will start get used to taking a look at what we'll be dealing with on spreadsheets as it relates to labor and industry and Veterans Affairs. So, Ms. Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, I'm Helen Roberts from the nonpartisan fiscal staff. And so as a fiscal analyst, my duties to this committee are going to be to track all of the budgetary decisions that the committee makes, to request fiscal notes for bills that are going to be considered by the committee, and then to answer any questions you have at all about budget and fiscal issues, and to provide additional information you might need on agencies and fiscal issues. So I'm going to share a screen. Hopefully it works. Can you all see that?
It's up, Ms. Roberts.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I know you did ask for a detailed look, but this is actually a pretty summary look in the fact that I'm only including the November forecast numbers for fiscal year 22 and 23. Since that is the budgetary period that this committee is going to be focused on. But if members want, I certainly have the history, you know, the prior biennium and the base for the tails also. So ask me if you need more detail than that. So to start, I'm going to just walk through the agencies and to go across the spreadsheet, you'll see the agency, you'll see the fund for each agency and program, and then you'll see the base amounts by fiscal year. And the first agency in, first agency in under the committee's jurisdiction is the Bureau of Mediation Services. which is funded by a general fund appropriation of $4.58 million for the biennium. And the next department or agency is the Department of Labor Industry, or DALI. And so this is the big agency in the labor part of this committee. And you can see it has seven different programs that are funded through a variety of funds. The first is the workers' comp program. And this is funded through the workers' comp fund. You will see a direct appropriation of $23.7 million for the biennium. And for members, especially for new members, when we talk about a direct appropriation, this means an amount that has to be reauthorized every 2 years in session law. So this is the amount you will actually see written into the bill when the bill is put together. But the other part of the funding is what is called an open appropriation, and that is in statute. So it is authorized in statute, doesn't have to be reauthorized every 2 years. And the difference between these two for this program is that the direct appropriation is for the actual expenses of operating the program for the department. And then the open appropriation is the amount that is available to cover the actual benefits. The next program is the construction codes and licensing program. And you can see I have a code of CC, so that means it's funded out of the construction codes fund, and that is from various licensing and permit fees. The general support program is for the general support, administrative support of the department as a whole, primarily funded through the workers' comp fund in a direct appropriation, but they also have some general fund money, $900,000 a year for IT systems modernization. And I believe that this funding only extends through fiscal year 23, and then will be eliminated from the base. The next item is the Labor Standards and Apprenticeship Program. Funding from the general fund is used for labor standards and apprenticeship and wage theft prevention. And then they also have a fund from the Workers Development Fund or Workforce Development Fund, and that's also used for apprenticeship and prevailing wage enforcement and LEAP grants. So that's a total you can see of $9.45 million for the biennium. The Combative Sports Office is funded out of events revenues and license revenues, and these are deposited in the Special Revenue Fund, which is why you see the SR. And that is, I believe this is a statutory appropriation that doesn't need to be reauthorized every 2 years. Next to last is workforce safety, which is also funded through the Workers' Compensation Fund. And finally, the Workforce Development Initiatives Program is funded from the Workforce Development Fund. And so then at the bottom of this page, you can see what we, the total for the Department of Labor and Industry, and then broken out by fund. So you can see the total funding of all state funds would be this $183 million for the biennium. Of course, we often focus pretty heavily on general fund because that's what our target is going to be. So this $8.488 million is also a significant number to be aware of. And then the final, I'm moving on to the next page, the final sort of labor-related agency is the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals, which is funded from the Workers' Compensation Fund. Moving on under the Vets and Military Affairs area of the committee, the first department is the Department of Military Affairs, or also known as the National Guard. And they have four programs that we fund. The first is the maintenance and training program, which is for maintenance of the various training and community centers across the state, are also commonly known as the armories, and then the air bases in the Twin Cities and Duluth. General support is, again, you know, the general support, HR, finance, all of those kind of support services for the department funded out of the general fund. And this program also receives the portion of the revenues from the supporter troops license plates. So that's the special revenue fund that you see, the SR. The next program is enlistment incentives. So this is the tuition reimbursement program, primarily tuition reimbursement program, although there are some targeted bonus programs. This is an area that the committee has spent some time in the past because the needs from the state have fluctuated a bit based on changes in the federal funding. And I'm sure the department could give you more information on that. And we do allow the department to carry forward funds through the next biennium, so they've been able to manage some of those needs through that carry forward authority. And then the final program is what's called Emergency Services and Military Support. And this is usually not a very large program that we spend a lot of time on. What it's intended for, it's an open general fund appropriation, which means the adjutant general has statutory authority to spend the amount needed to provide emergency services. And it's usually used when the Guard is called up to respond to things like natural disasters, flooding, fires, blizzards, you know, when they open the armories on the highways. And so normally we've been tracking about $181,000 per year. As you know, 2020 was not your average year. And although I'm not showing fiscal year 20 and 21 on this page, I can tell you that that the actual expenditures out of this program for 2020 were $12.4 million per year. And then in 2021, right now, estimated at $8.7 million per year. And that is due both to the civil unrest where the Guard was called up, and then also for the Guard providing services in response to the COVID pandemic. And so MMB has changed their forecasting just for the next probably 4 years to try to take into account not only the more recent experience, but also the uncertainty of whether the Guard, how long the Guard might continue to be involved in the COVID response, and then any other kind of response to civic uncertainty that's going on right now. So you can see then again the total at the bottom of the general fund. Again, this open general fund, which is the emergency services. And finally, the special revenue fund, again, is the support our troops fund. And then finally, I'm going to go on to Department of Veterans Affairs. So Veterans Affairs has two programs. The first is what we call programs and services. And I'm not going to walk through this line by line, but under this, you'll see, under the services part, you'll see some of the programs that members are really familiar with. I think probably state soldiers assistance is the largest expenditure, but this also includes the state cemeteries, MACV, the caseworkers for Minnesota Service Corps, and then I listed on here, but not showing because I'm only showing the current or the next biennium is the department received special funding for COVID-19 related special needs grants. Also included under this program and services is the claims and outreach area. So that includes obviously the claims and outreach office, but also the county veterans service officers funding, the honor guard funding, higher education veterans programs, and then the veteran service organizations. Veterans Affairs also receives, again, a portion of the Support Our Troops license plates. And so that you'll see the special revenue line. And then finally, Open General Fund. Again, this is not something we will have to put in our bill, but is already authorized in statute, is the funding for the GI Bill post-secondary education assistance, and then the GI Bill on-the-job training and apprenticeships. So these are the totals for the programs and services. Funding about $43.4 million total all funds. But the largest program is only showing up on one line because we don't really have a lot of detail on this because of the way the veterans' homes are funded. So the veterans' healthcare, veterans' homes is clearly the largest program. And this $57.8 million per year from the general fund is transferred into a special revenue fund where it's then combined with the federal per diem payments and also some the residents, some of the residents make payments. And so these all go into the special revenue fund and then are used to administer the various homes across the state. And so then you'll see a total for the Department of Veterans Affairs by fund, total of $158.9 million. But again, this direct general fund number is the number that's going to be what you're going to see in the governor's bill, because or the base numbers, not shouldn't say the governor's bill, but these are the this is the starting point for what we're going to be facing as a target. And then finally, at the bottom, we just always include a total for each for the entire committee and by fund. So that's what you see here. So hopefully that wasn't too fast. If you have any questions, please let me know.
I do have one question. Thank you, Ms. Roberts. I do have one question on the special revenue fund that you talked about as far as for the guard.
Mm-hmm.
Jotted that down. So is there any reimbursement coming from the federal government on that, or is that a hole in the budget we're going to have to take a look at right off the bat for what happened in this past year?
Oh, are you talking about the emergency services military support?
Yes, I apologize. Yes.
Yes, that's an open general fund. Even under normal circumstances, or much of this is reimbursable by the federal government. Particularly by FEMA if there's a natural disaster, but I believe that in case of the civil unrest and some of the COVID activities, that there will be federal reimbursement. And I can get you further information on that.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Anybody else have questions of Ms. Roberts? Well, I want to thank all the nonpartisan staff for putting this together. I think it's a good primer for what we have going forward. This is probably going to be a relatively short first meeting just because we wanted to get our feet wet on the whole Zoom thing and all that kind of stuff. Do any members have any questions for me or for any of our other staff?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah, I think you might have mentioned this already earlier that Tuesdays we'll be spending most of the time on labor and then Wednesdays on Veterans Affairs, Military Affairs. Is that how we're going to organize the committee?
Representative Detmer, that's correct. I don't know if it's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday on how we do that at this point in time. The next few meetings are going to be overviews from the agencies. So we're scheduling them as their time permits. But that is my intention after talking over with the committee administrator. We think that might be the best and the cleanest way to do it. That way, if staff that doesn't normally work on those issues may not need to be at the committee because of those type of things. So that is the plan. Now, when we get down to deadline time, we may have commingled bills or commingled agenda where we will not be strictly dealing with labor, strictly dealing with veterans issues. But we'll cross that bridge sometime in March. We'll see how that goes.
And Mr. Chair, Detmer, in our meeting that we had with staff, how are we going to handle if people want to come in and testify on some of the bills that we bring forward? How is something that we want to handle that as a committee?
Representative Detmer, we're going to part of the testifiers as bills are presented. That's obviously up to the bill author and for the advocates for and against to keep track of this. We're certainly going to make committee time available for people that want to testify. Mr. Reese, the committee administrator, is going to one of the suggestions that you made when we had our meeting with the Republican leads is going to reach out to the commander's task force and others. We are going to do our absolute best in this environment to make sure that anybody that wants to comment on a bill will have their chance to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet, Representative Detmer. Any other questions from anybody? All right. Members and staff, our next meeting will be Wednesday, January 13th, tomorrow at 3 p.m. I kind of like the idea of having this back-to-back days. We'll get our work done quickly in the middle of the week, hopefully, 3 o'clock, and we're going to get an overview from the Department of Labor and Industry. So with that, if anybody has any further questions or comments, and I will, I'm a Neanderthal when it comes to this technology stuff, so I will take my time and make sure that people do have a chance to ask their questions if they have any. So one final round. Any questions? Oh, Representative Berg.
Thank you, Chair Eklund. I do have a question. It's my personal feeling that we don't do enough for our veterans. We ask them to sacrifice everything and we fall short upon their return. I'm wondering if we will be getting any type of an overview from organizations that support veterans or just so some of us who aren't as knowledgeable about it can get some basic information.
Thank you, Representative Berg. That's a great question. I think by the folks that were on this committee last year, is I'm open to invite anybody in for presentations. An example is we had a group of young men that came from the University of Minnesota Veterans Group last year. They gave us a tremendous presentation on what they're trying to do, organizing themselves on the University of Minnesota campus. I'm certainly not against having the Commander's Task Force or the Legion or anybody else come in and do presentations on what programs they have going on. We will try to keep them short to keep our committee time in place, but yes, we will invite several different groups for both veterans issues and labor issues to come in and present on this type of stuff. Thank you for the question.
Sure, thank you, and I appreciate that.
Any other member questions? Well, thank you, members, and I'm looking forward to working with you on this committee. I think it's going to be a good committee going forward. And believe me, we did not use up our hour and a half of committee time, but I certain you guys can all plan on an hour and a half on most meetings going forward, especially when we start hearing bills. And the bill issue is still maybe a little bit of a problem. I've heard yesterday that the revisor has got about a 1,500 bill backup. But we are going to start hearing bills as soon as they are assigned to our committee's purview. So with that, our next meeting will be Wednesday, July 13th, or January 13th. Let's go right to July. January 13th at 3 o'clock. And if there are no other questions, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.